This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bad loss by the Eagles yesterday, 27-24 to the Detroit Lions at the Link. Eagles fall to 1-2 on the season. So many mistakes, but I got the perfect guy to break it down. The Hall of Famer Ray Dittinger of WIP and NBC Sports Philadelphia. Ray, thanks for joining me. Good morning. What were your main takeaways from yesterday's loss?
Boy, where do you begin? So many missed opportunities, and really a loss that you could not afford, because on Thursday the Eagles have to play Green Bay out in Green Bay, where they've never lost a Thursday night game at Lambeau, and they're red hot right now. They're 3-0, so the Eagles have to regroup in a hurry, or else come Friday morning they're going to be 1-3, and it's going to be a long way to dig your way out of the NFC East with the way the Cowboys are playing. So this was I didn't see this one coming. I don't think many people saw this one coming. There are no games in the NFL that are easy, but this is one that I thought that all the matchups kind of favored the Eagles, even in their somewhat depleted state. I mean, I know they're missing some of their key players, and they've got a few guys who are playing who aren't quite 100% right now. But I really thought playing at home against the Lions, this is a game the Eagles could win, and they should have. They had their opportunities, and the fact that they're here 1-2 today, it's all their fault.
Well, yeah, I think all the mistakes speak for themselves. I mean, they only lost by 3 points. They turned the ball over 2 times. They had 3 fumbles, 2 of them for losses. They had so many drops. They had so many instances where they left receivers open. They didn't get a pass rush. There were so many different things, and yet they only lost by 3 points and had 2 drives at the end to where they could have gone ahead or tied the game, and it just didn't work out for them. So, like, one of the things that you brought up last week was special teams and how you thought special teams was going to be a big thing that would work in the Eagles' favor, considering how poorly Detroit played in that phase of the game. So how surprising was it to you that Agnew had a 100-yard touchdown return for a kickoff, and also the Malcolm Jenkins block in the back after the great block field goal, that debatable call? What did you make of those instances?
Well, yeah, that's the Lions special teams there. I mean, they had the great return early. That was the Eagles' fault. Their coverage was poor. The guys got out of their lanes and wound up getting a touchdown return on them. That's their fault. That's poor execution. But then at the end of the game, when the Lions were in a position to really put the game away with a field goal, you saw how bad their special teams are. They let Malcolm Jenkins come through unblocked, and he gets the block that at the time when Rasul Douglas picks it up and returns it, it looks like the Eagles are at the very least going to kick the tying field goal and take it to overtime, but more likely take it in and win, and everybody's going to walk away and just sort of wipe their brow and say, boy, okay, we didn't play well, but we got that win. I mean, that's what everybody was thinking when Rasul Douglas has got that ball and he's returning it down the field. So, yeah, I mean, I remember having this, my discussion with you before the game, previewing it, saying, well, the Eagles special teams, that's an area where the Eagles have a huge advantage in this game because the Lions special teams have been so bad this season, and actually even going back to last season. I did not foresee the kickoff return touchdown, but when you don't execute and you don't tackle and guys don't play out their responsibilities, that's what's going to happen.
Did you agree with the block in the back on Malcolm? Do you think that was a ticky-tack call, or was it the right call by the referees?
I think as the rule is written, it was a block in the back. But I think that there's a common sense element to it that, to me, that block didn't have anything to do with Douglas's return. If that kind of block actually springs a guy for a long return, then I think that's when you throw the flag. But to me, that guy was pretty much out of the play. I don't think he certainly wasn't going to make the tackle. And if you see that, I think at that point you just kind of use common sense and you say, well, that didn't really have anything to do with Douglas's return. I'm just going to let that one go. But early in the season, officials, I mean, they've been throwing flags all over the place. I mean, you look at the total number of penalties being called, not just in Eagles games, but across the board, is up more than 50% over where it was last year. officials are throwing flags on everything. So they threw the flag on this one. I wouldn't have, because I don't think it really was that important a factor in the return. But is it a penalty? Yeah, if you just go by the definition of the rule book, it probably was.
What did the Eagles do wrong on their last two drives? They had great chances to like I said, to try to tie or go ahead, and they didn't really have anything going on either of those possessions.
Yeah, drops mostly. It was just poor execution. I mean, you had Hollins had one drop. Ertz had Ertz had a ball that, I mean, he could have caught. It wasn't an easy catch, but it was a drop. Hollins certainly had a drop. And then you had the very last play, which is to the rookie, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. And even though it's not an easy catch because the Detroit player was right there and actually did get a piece of the ball, it does hit him in the hands. And it's probably a ball that should have been caught. I mean, it seems a little harsh to call it a drop, but the fact is, and even he said after the game, that's a ball I've got to catch. And they didn't, but that was symptomatic of the whole game. I mean, there were so many missed opportunities here. And once again, they come out on the minus side of the turnover ratio. They gave the ball away twice in this game. Could have easily been three. I mean, Sanders fumbled twice. His teammates bailed him out the one time. But that's one. If there's one constant throughout the NFL every week, you wind up talking about giveaways and takeaways. You wind up talking about how turnovers win and lose games. And it's certainly true in this one. I mean, if you look at the statistics, the Eagles had almost 100 more total yards. They were better in the red zone. They scored on three of their four red zone opportunities. They were better on third down. They converted more than half of them. They won time of possession. I mean, those are all winning numbers, typically. But what will override it is if you turn the ball over. And the Eagles did twice in this game. And that, combined with the drops, was enough to cost them a game that they absolutely should have won.
Why do the drops keep happening? It happened in the loss to it happened in the loss to the Falcons, and it happened yesterday. I mean, I get it. Deshaun and Alshon aren't there, but still, you figure that Nelson is a capable wide receiver, that although he's a rookie, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside's a capable wide receiver, and Matt Collins, too. You have all these drops. Why do they keep happening?
Well, I think probably the two young players are probably pressing a little bit. Arcega-Whiteside is a rookie, making his first start. I'm sure he felt a little pressure. Hollins has been with you for a couple of years, but he's been more a special teams player than he's been a regular receiver. So there's pressure on those guys to try and make the plays when they have the opportunities. I mean, they're backups for a reason. They're not as good as the guys playing ahead of them. And I think that sometimes if a team gets into a pattern like this where you have drops, guys are dropping balls, drops lead to more drops. I think it becomes kind of almost epidemic that you have a couple bad plays, you have a couple drops, and then the guys start to press a little bit more. And, Aguilar had a big third down drop early in the game, then he had the one play where he catches the ball and tries to turn it upfield to get more yardage, and he winds up fumbling the ball away. So, I mean, this was just a game of just poor execution. And I don't want to keep tracing it back to training camp and the lack of playing time in the preseason, but, this team right now just looks real sloppy. I mean, even the one game they won against the Redskins, they played really poorly in the first half, pulled it out in the second half, but we're three games in now, and the execution is just not there. I mean, we haven't seen this team come close to playing a four-quarters game, where they've played the full 60 minutes and played it well. They're going to have to do that to have any chance to win on Thursday, because the Green Bay Packers right now Aaron Rodgers is playing really well. Their defense is playing better than it's played in years, and you're playing them in Green Bay. This is going to be a really, really steep mountain to climb.
Are you concerned about the rookies, Miles Sanders and Arcega-Whiteside?
I'm more concerned about Sanders because I think they're both very good players. I mean, I saw enough of them in college, and I saw enough of them in training camp to recognize, no, they have the ability to be good NFL players. Not just guys that are going to be on your roster, but guys that are going to be difference-making players. They're that good, I believe. But they're going through a tough period of adjustment. And Sanders concerns me a little bit more, because if you saw the interviews with him after the game, it's obvious that he's really he's hurting right now. I don't mean physically hurting, but I mean psychologically, mentally, he's hurting right now. Because he knows he's capable of playing better. He hasn't performed well to this point. Yesterday he made a couple big plays, but then gave them back with the turnovers. And That was the one issue he had coming out of college, was he did have trouble holding onto the football. And for all of his talent, and believe me, he's got a lot of it, if he doesn't learn how to hold onto the football, then he's not going to play a whole lot in the NFL, because that's paramount. I mean, all the guys that come into this league, running backs, if you got ability, that's fine. But the one thing you got to do is you got to hold on to the football, because, as we said just a few minutes ago, turnovers are what lose games in this league more than anything else. And he's got to lick that to become the kind of player he's capable of being.
Defense isn't getting to the quarterback. They're also giving up big third downs, leaving wide receivers open. How surprised are you by their play?
I thought the defense would be... I didn't see this as a dominating kind of defense that was going to come in and just shut people down. I thought it was going to be a defense that would give up some plays and give up some yards, but, you know, win games by being good in the red zone and limiting the other team in terms of points. And they've kind of done that to some extent, but the two things that are really obvious to me is they can't generate a pass rush with their front four. You know, Fletcher Cox yesterday goes the whole game and doesn't even have a tackle, much less a sack. It's very hard for this team defensively to dominate an opponent if Fletcher Cox isn't a dominating kind of player, and he has not been to this point. But again, no pressure, no sacks on the quarterback. And sometimes, and Jim Schwartz says this all the time, and he's true to a point, is that sacks aren't necessarily the be-all and end-all. If you get a couple sacks in the game, that's okay. But what you really need is continuous pressure. That whether you get sacks or not, just be always on top of the quarterback, just hurrying him, throwing the timing off, making them aware that the pressure is there. Well, you're not even getting that. You're not getting sacks, and you're not getting pressure. And it's much too easy for quarterbacks to play. Certainly was easy for Matthew Stafford yesterday. And so the lack of a pass rush is really crippling for this team. And it leads to situations like yesterday, where twice now in this game, the Eagles would score a touchdown, and the Lions would get the ball back, and they would take it right back down the field and score on top of you. Can't do that. Good defenses don't do that. Good defenses, if the offense scores and they get you a touchdown, the defense comes on the field, they shut the other team down, and they get the ball back for their offense. That's how you take control of games. There's a couple times now, it happened in Atlanta, and it happened twice yesterday, where the Eagles' offense would score, and then the defense would let the team come back and score a touchdown right on top of it. And that's just not winning defense.
And I got one more for you, Ray, and you've alluded to it many times throughout our conversation so far. With the Thursday game coming up, the 3-0 Packers, a team that has never lost at home on Thursday Night Football, are the Eagles in trouble?
This week, I think they are. It's really two questions. Are they in trouble this week? Yeah. I think anybody would say that. Are they in trouble long-term? Is the season endangered? I'm still not prepared to go there yet, because I still do believe this is a good team, and you are missing some key players who will be back at some point. But it's going to be an uphill fight now. I mean, if you fall to 1-3 on Thursday, okay, the week after that you've got the Jets, which should be an easy game at home. But then you've got those three straight road games against Minnesota, Dallas, and now an undefeated Buffalo team. That's a very tough stretch. That is a very tough stretch. Can this team still make the playoffs? Sure. Because you saw last year, I mean, much later in the season, they looked like they were going nowhere. And they regrouped, and they wound up making the playoffs and almost wound up beating the Saints and going to the championship game. So it can happen. But they've made this road a lot more difficult than I think any of us thought it was going to be.
Well, there's one thing positive about this week, Ray, is that we get to talk to you three times instead of two because of the Thursday game. So thank you as always, and we'll preview Eagles-Packers Thursday morning.
I look forward to it. Talk to you then, David.
Thanks, Ray. Take care. Hall of Famer Ray Dittinger of WIP and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.